Hello to all of you associated with the Academy for Scriptural Knowledge. On this cassette tape, we wish to present two of our radio broadcasts titled New Discoveries and the Bible. They concern one of the central subjects of the Bible that is the most misunderstood today in Christendom. If there's any more deceptive teaching affecting, and I mean afflicting, Christianity today, it is that of the immortality of the soul or the belief in a conscious continuance of life after death. That is, after all visible signs of physical life are over, people still believe that an individual is conscious or either in hell or up in heaven. Now, with many Christians, they believe that now that Christ has come on the earth and has gone back to heaven, there is no need to stay in the grave for a resurrection from the dead, which the Bible says will take place at his second advent, the advent of Christ. Oh no, many people now are believing that an individual just goes immediately into heaven. And there they will be with the other saints that have been there for some 2,000 years since the time of Christ, and that they will be in happiness and joy and complete bliss while they are there. Now, this is a completely anti-biblical teaching that is so pervasive to modern man and to most men throughout history, as a matter of fact, that its error cannot be overemphasized. Now, when I say overemphasized, I mean the error. It is the height and folly of satanic teaching because it utterly destroys the New Testament message that Christ died for our sins. And another point, that Christ was resurrected from the dead. And a third point, that we will be resurrected from the dead at Christ's second advent. You see, it does away with all of those three major teachings of the Bible. That's why it is so important that everyone in this world, and that means you, me, all of us, but everyone in this world who believes in the biblical revelation and who loves it and wants to know what the teaching of Christianity is all about, takes these things into account. And this is the teaching that Satan the devil has really brought into the world as a masterstroke to destroy the very fabric of biblical Christianity. And indeed, Satan has introduced this doctrine to absolutely introduced abject paganism into Christianity itself. And as a result, Christianity, the truth of God, has been absolutely vitiated from beginning to end. As I will show in one of these broadcasts here, that what we need to do is to understand Satan's plan that he was giving at the very beginning and not be deceived by it. And if people want to go ahead and do it, if they want to believe what Satan said to our first parents back there in the Garden of Eden, I tell you, even the Bible itself, when you read it from that point forward in chapter 3 of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation, you are going to be making mistakes and misunderstand what God is trying to reveal, even in the sacred scripture. That's why this teaching is so important and why I have emphasized it time and time again. It's not a matter of going over something because I don't have anything else to say. My goodness, I could go on with lots of other teachings to say, interesting ones, and I'm going to in the months ahead. But you know, we need to know this doctrine to be in error so much that if we do not understand this, a major error, then I tell you, we are going to be mixed up in point after point in the future. And that is exactly how important it is. Now, we at ASK are not going to let Satan the devil, in my view, get away of perpetuating this false teaching. But so attractive is this teaching that even some of our friends in a former organization of which I was a part have gone over to this doctrine wholesale. Now, I'm not condemning anybody. I'm just stating it as a fact. People are so prone to forget even the basic teachings of the Scripture when philosophical speculations replace the plain biblical teaching. And you know, in the Bible, the Apostle Paul, near the end of his life, said in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 16, speaking about God, in actual fact, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who is none other than Jesus Christ, and we find him revealed with that title in the book of Revelation, that it says that only he, God, hath immortality. We as human beings do not have it. No other person who has ever lived on this earth, including the Apostle Paul, Peter, John, and the rest, have any immortality associated with them. They are all in their graves and they are awaiting the second advent of Christ so that they can be resurrected from the dead just like all of us will be. And if we're alive at that time, we will be changed. like they will be changed, and we will have the spiritual bodies that God wants to give us, and He will give us at the second advent of Christ. Now, most of you have experienced being unconscious, like we will be when we go into the grave. I will explain some of these things after this broadcast is over, so that we can begin to know just what it's really like to be dead, and what death actually entails, and how that the main teaching of Christianity, indeed the central teaching of Christianity, is that Jesus Christ died for our sins, was resurrected from the dead, and that you and I can be resurrected from the dead too. Now let us listen to this first broadcast regarding the nonsense of the immortality of the soul or the spiritual essence. Here is our announcer, Jim Jensen.
The following program is produced by the Academy for Scriptural Knowledge. In this program, Dr. Ernest L. Martin provides answers to important questions being asked by modern man concerning the teachings and the prophecies of the Bible. And now for those important answers which relate to the history, geography, archaeology, and all the teachings of the Bible, here is Professor Martin.
Hello, everyone. This is Ernest L. Martin with New Discoveries and the Bible. In this broadcast, I wish to discuss one of the most important teachings of the Bible. If one does not understand this doctrine that I'm going to talk about today, then the Bible itself will not make any sense, and its teachings will be utterly corrupted and reduced to the level of classical paganism. Indeed, if people adopt this particular interpretation of the Bible that I'm going to speak about, it will tarnish and even destroy the major teachings of the Bible regarding the salvation of mankind and the reason for Jesus Christ being sent into this world. It is that serious. What I wish to talk about is a most important matter, and it makes all the difference in the world in one's understanding of what the biblical revelation is all about. Now, what is that subject I'm talking about, to which Christendom, since the 4th century, has gone over to almost wholesale? It is the question of whether man possesses an inherent immortality in which his soul or his personality will supposedly never die. Or does the Bible teach that man ceases to exist as a living personality from his death, to his resurrection from the dead at some future time? In other words, is there some kind of immortal vigor resident in man that makes his personality incapable of dying? In another way of putting it, when our fleshly body dies, will there be a conscious living existence, that is, your soul or your spirit or whatever, for each of us humans, without the possibility of ever losing consciousness? In a word, what happens to us when we die? Now, there are so many people who say, and indeed most people say, that if you are a Christian, if you are in Christ, if you are a believer in the Scripture, and you have salvation, you will immediately at death go to heaven, and you will be there with Christ, and you will stay there with Him in a type of bliss until He returns the second time, and then you will come back with Him to this earth. The only thing is, it says that there will be a resurrection of the dead at that time. Well, now, that's a little problem, but the point is, most people just overlook that, it seems like, right at first. Now, they say that you will go to heaven immediately at death. And, you know, if you do have an immortal existence of some kind, obviously that would be the case. Now, what if, on the other hand, you are not a Christian? What if you are a wicked person? What if you have done a lot of evil on this earth? Do you know, people have wondered what's going to happen to that person who dies. It might be you, it might be me, any of us. What would happen to an individual who dies and he is not in the grace of Jesus Christ? Well, most people say that he would go to an ever-burning hell, and he's going to be there because for all eternity, the rest of eternity, simply because, you see, they believe that there is an immortal vigor in every individual on earth. Now, some have said that there may be an intermediate state of some kind called purgatory or something of that nature in which you have to be cleaned up a little bit and all of that, but, you know, the thing is, people who believe in the immortal soul theory, or the idea that there is some kind of a spiritual and personality existence after death, they feel that as soon as you die, you either go to heaven and you're in bliss with Christ Jesus, or that you will go into some kind of an intermediate state, or perhaps even into hell itself, and there you're going to be for the rest of eternity. As an example of the severity that is often attached to this question I'm talking about here, I heard one of the major preachers say on radio the other day that when a human sperm, connects with an ovum in a woman, that immediately, now this is what he said, and immediately there is an immortal being instantly created. And that fetus that is being developed in the womb of that mother or that woman there is absolutely immortal, and it will continue to live for all eternity. Now, I ask you the question, where is that teaching in the Bible? That's what that man said, and he believes it. Another preacher made the dogmatic statement the other day that every time the Bible uses the word death or dead or something like that, it never means death as you and I understand the word, but that there is no such thing as anyone actually dying or losing consciousness, but that a continual existence awaits every single human on earth. Now, you've probably been taught that from early days, haven't you? That's what I was taught. That's what most people have been taught. But is it true? Is that what the Bible teaches? That is what we need to know about, because this is a very important teaching. It's a doctrine which we need to know what the truth is. Do you have an immortal soul, or do you have an immortal spiritual existence and a consciousness that no matter what happens, you are going to live for the rest of eternity alive and conscious? We need to know what is the Bible teaching on this matter. Is that what the Bible says? Well, now just listen. You're going to find out now what the Bible says. And that is not the truth at all. Absolutely not. The Bible doctrine says just exactly the opposite from that. What we have found being introduced into the Bible is nothing more than classical paganism, which comes out of the realm of Greece and of Rome and of Egypt and of Babylon, and it's not coming from the Holy Scriptures. If you will look very carefully at what the Bible says on this matter, you will be surprised, I'm sure, because it's exactly opposite from what we have been taught since childhood. It says that only God, and in this case, which I'm going to quote to you in just a moment, only Jesus Christ has an immortality, and he gained that by the resurrection from the dead. If you will look at what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning in verse 14, he is telling Timothy here, in fact, he's commanding him that you keep the commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he says in verse 15, which in his time, that is in the time of Christ, when he comes, he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. If you want to know who that King of kings is and that Lord of lords, Revelation chapter 17 verse 14 says that it is Jesus Christ. Now going on, speaking about this King of kings and Lord of lords, who is Jesus Christ. Verse 16, now mark this down because this is very important. This is biblical teaching. This is not coming from Plato. This is not coming from Egypt. It's not coming from Babylon. It's coming directly from the Bible itself, and it's coming from the Apostle Paul. He says of this man who is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who is none other than Jesus Christ, he says, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man can see, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Now that's what the Apostle Paul said in about 66 A.D. Later on, the Apostle John was able to see Jesus Christ and even God the Father in vision. But at this time, no one was able to see him up to this point. But it does say here that is Jesus Christ. It is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who is the only one at the present time possessing immortality. Now, that is what the Bible says. So that means that you do not have an inherent immortality in you. I would think that's the case. Isn't that not right? Well, if we believe the Bible. Now, that's only one verse. I know that. But there are many throughout the Scripture which absolutely show and prove that we can inherit immortality, all right. But you know when we do? We inherit immortality at the second coming of Christ, when he returns to this earth, and the Bible makes that abundantly clear. It is not until he comes back to this earth that there is a resurrection from the dead, and all who are in Christ at that time will be resurrected. They will then put on immortality, and not until that time. When you die, when I die, when our parents died as you and I would think they died, not as Plato or somebody else would say, but they absolutely died, and the Scripture makes that clear. The only person who has lived on this earth and has been resurrected from the dead and now has an immortality associated with him is none other than Jesus Christ himself. Now the Apostle Paul said in another section of Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 24, he mentions here some very interesting statements concerning our redemption. That's a biblical term which means our salvation, when we will attain the immortality that all of us want. You want, I want. And it's a type of immortality that's just not mere existence, but it means a happy existence. It means a quality of life which will last for the rest of eternity. The Apostle Paul talked about this when he mentioned to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 12. He says, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection from the dead?" Some of these Corinthians were absolutely believing at this time that there may not be a resurrection of some kind. They thought maybe there was an immortal vigor in them because most of the Greeks felt that way. The Apostle Paul said it was just the opposite. He said, if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? Because you see, Christ Jesus was resurrected from the dead. In fact, the teaching throughout the Apostle Paul's letters, and you'll find it also with Peter and John and the rest of them, that when Jesus died, he died. And he himself, after 3 days, was resurrected from the dead. He was not resurrected from the living. He was resurrected from the dead. And that's what Paul says here in verse 13. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. But if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, Paul says. And your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if we say that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. You are yet in your sins. They also which are fallen asleep in Christ, which is a euphemistic statement meaning those who have died, are perished. Now, my, if they have an immortal vigor, if Paul looked upon them as having immortality and all of that, then why is it that he says here that if there is no resurrection from the dead, that all of those who have fallen asleep in Christ, that means those who have died, are perished? You see, it makes it clear right there that we do not have an inherent immortality associated with human beings. We have to have that immortality given to us by Christ, and that comes by the resurrection from the dead, and as we will see in just a few moments here when Paul keeps on talking and writing, that comes at the second advent of Christ. Verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. And since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And every man in his own order. Christ the first fruit, he was the first one 1900 years ago. He was the first one to be resurrected from the dead. That's what Paul said in verse 23. Afterward, they that are Christ's at his second coming. Now, I added that word second in there, but that's what it means. At his coming, at his advent, that is when the rest of people, of you, me, all of us who are in Christ, will be resurrected from the dead. But he goes on further and says in verse 24, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he hath put down all power, all authority, and all rule. Now, that is in verse 24. That is the third resurrection. The first is Christ's resurrection. The second would be those of us who are at his second coming. And then the third will be at the telos, as it is in the Greek, at the very end, when Christ will have put down all rule, all authority, and all power. Now, if you go on down to verse 41, Paul continues on with this resurrection theme. He says, there is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differs from one another in glory. So also is the resurrection from the dead. Notice he did not say the resurrection from the living, because that would be superfluous and unnecessary. He says there is coming a time in the future when there's going to be a resurrection of the dead, and that is what you and I are going to experience. It, the body, is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. Now that shows that our body, our flesh, happens to be corrupted. We're not immortal by any means. It, the body, is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. That is, when you are put into the grave, it goes in as a natural body, and all of us understand what happens at that juncture. But what happens also is that it will be raised, verse 44, as a spiritual body. There is a natural body, there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, who is Christ, was made a quickening or a life-giving spirit. Howbeit, that which was first was not spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. That's how you and I are at the present time. We are earthy. And you know, we return to the earth. Do you remember when Adam was created? He says, dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. He didn't say anything about you having an immortal vigor in which you're going to live forever, unless you are resurrected from the dead and you are made immortal by Christ Jesus. He goes on to say in verse 48, as is the earthy, such are they which are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, now here is Paul. He's talking to the Corinthians, and he's giving them information that they needed to know. And let me tell you, you need to know. Because it's not going to show us here that the ideas of the immortality of the soul that the pagans have accepted for generations is true. It's just the opposite from that. He says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That's how we are now. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Now, that's a euphemistic statement, which simply means we shall not all die. Some who are alive at the second coming of Christ will be changed instantly at that time, and that's what he says. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That is the time that immortality comes upon the human race. That is the only time in which we are going to assume to an immortality. It's by the resurrection from the dead. He goes on to say in verse 53, for this corruptible, and that's what we are right now, must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. It's just like putting on a vestment of some kind. In the Greek here, it's just like you have a cloak of some kind, and you go over and you say it's cold outside, and what I'm going to do is just to put on this cloak. Well, that's the exact words that the Apostle Paul is using here on putting on immortality. But when does that occur? That occurs at the last trump, when Jesus Christ comes the second time, and not before that time. So when this corruptible, verse 54, shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. What we find here is, in all other sections of the New Testament, is that immortality is something that is inherited by the resurrection from the dead. It is not something that you have inherently at the present time. And that is exactly what the teaching of the Apostle Paul was trying to say. And he did say. Now, there were some people, however, that even back in that period, who wanted to accept the Platonic doctrine of the immortality of the soul. And many of them felt that, why should we have to wait for the resurrection of the dead? We could just immediately go into heaven, it seems like, when we died. Well, you know, so many people have felt that way. But you know, that is not what the teaching of the Bible is all about. If you will look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, you will find that the Apostle Paul rebuked two individuals here, one by the name of Hymenaeus and the other by Philetus. And why did he rebuke them? Because he says in verse 18 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrown the faith of some. Now, he wrote this just about 63 A.D., or 64. He is saying here that the resurrection had not yet happened at that time. You know, people were still in their graves, those who had died. That means Abraham. That means Moses. That means David. That means all the others. And you know, they had not gone into heaven. This teaching that you go immediately into heaven if you're good, or you go into hell when you die if you're bad, is not the teaching of the Bible. In fact, we find right here in Acts chapter 2, if you'll look at what Peter said in verse 29, he was talking to the people at Jerusalem right after the resurrection of Christ, and he was telling them here, men and brethren, verse 29, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Now, he's talking about David there. His sepulcher, his grave, was right there in Jerusalem, and they could go look at it. Now, the interesting thing is that if you go down to verse just a little bit farther on, verse 34, it says, Peter says this, under inspiration of God, if you believe the Bible on this, for David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand. David had not yet gone into the heavens, and you know, he's still not in heaven. The Apostle Paul is not in heaven. No one is in heaven and will not get there until the resurrection of the dead takes place at the second coming of Christ. That is exactly the teaching of the Bible. Now, if you look at Philippians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul, he actually made the statement that if he died, he would be immediately in the presence of Jesus. And that's true. In verse 23, he said, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. And some people have interpreted that as meaning that as soon as the Apostle Paul would die, that he would be immediately in the presence of Jesus Christ. You know, that is not the fact, but it is true that as far as Paul's consciousness is concerned, he would be immediately in the presence of Christ, no matter if a 2,000-year period went in between. Because, you see, once you die, you're dead. And there is no consciousness while you are dead in the grave. That is what the teaching of the Bible is all about. It is not until the resurrection of the dead takes place that you will resume a consciousness. And that is what the Bible says. What we find Paul saying here is very true. Do you know that as soon as you die, as soon as anyone dies, let's say the person is a Christian, they will, as far as their consciousness is concerned, be immediately in the presence of Christ. But it may be several hundred, or if not, in some cases, several thousands of years that will actually pass before the individual is really in the presence of Christ. That is what the Apostle Paul was saying there. In fact, in chapter 1 of Philippians. In fact, the Apostle Paul went on to say in that same epistle that he wrote to the Philippians in chapter 3 that his hope for salvation and for immortality rested in the resurrection from the dead. And that's what he said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 11. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. That's what he said in that same epistle. You see, all of us who are living at the present time do not have anything of immortality associated with us at the present. But we will, by the resurrection of the dead, be given and immortality. We do not have it at the present time. Now you might say, what difference does this all make? Just what difference does it make? Let me tell you, it makes all the difference in the world, because the teachings which have come from the 4th century, which have permeated the doctrines of the Christian church from that time, have assumed almost wholesale that everybody who is dying in Christ immediately goes to heaven. They are living up there at the present time. The Bible does not say that. And you know what you find, though, is once in a while you'll see references of someone appearing from the dead, someone coming back to life, some kind of a shadowy figure, or perhaps a spiritual figure of some kind. And even Plato, the reason he said that the immortality of the soul, as far as he was concerned, was a proper doctrine, because he said that if you would go to the graves of many of the righteous, from time to time you would see spiritual essences coming from those graves, apparently. That is far as Plato was concerned. Now, Aristotle did not believe that to be the case, but Plato did. And many people began to understand or believe that, you know, you do have an immortal vigor, and that you're going to be right in the presence of God immediately. But that is not the case. And I'll tell you how dangerous this doctrine is. Because, you see, when you come to the place of believing that your mother or your father, like my mother and father, let me tell you, they were good Christian people, and I know that for a fact. Now, if I would see someone like my father telling me intimate details about my life that only he or I would know, you know, I immediately, since I know the scripture and I know what it says, would dismiss that spirit as being a deceiving spirit. And it's not true. That person is, or that spirit is, a deceiving spirit talked about by the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, in which he said that at the end of the age or in future times, people would go over to deceiving spirits. Let me show you here what he says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. You know, if you realize that everyone is dead who is righteous, everyone is dead who is evil. waiting for the resurrection of the dead. Then when you might see some kind of an apparition, some kind of what people might call a spirit or a ghost, and it might even resemble someone that you know, that person or that spirit is not the spirit of the individual who died and went to heaven, supposedly. It's coming from a different source, and the Apostle Paul said those spirits were seducing spirits. Now, that is exactly what the teaching of the Bible says. And most of us, however, I mean from our earliest period of life, we have assumed that our parents, who are dead and in Christ, are immediately in heaven. But they are not. They are waiting for the resurrection from the dead. And you know, one of the silliest things in the world, when you think about it, is here they are, supposedly, up there in heaven, and they're with Christ, and they're waiting to come back at the second advent. And you know, the Apostle Paul says that there's going to be a resurrection from the dead right at that time. That's true, at the second coming. Now, here they are already in heaven. They've been there, in some cases, maybe 100 years, maybe 500 years, and with the Apostle Paul, almost 1,900 years, and now they're just having a wonderful time there. Now, I'm not making fun of this. This is true. This is what most people think. And yet there's going to be, the Bible says, a resurrection from the dead when their bodies are going to come up. Now, isn't it interesting? Here they come back with Christ, it seems like, having a fine existence up there for some 1,900 years, and then all of a sudden they see their bodies come up out of the grave. And what do they do? Do they just jump into their bodies? I'm not being silly. You know, this is the silliness, though, that has been accepted by most people in this world. They ought to get back to seeing what the Scripture actually says. The teaching of the Bible is just the opposite what we have been taught from the 4th century, which has permeated our society from the very beginning, it seems like, of that period of time. And it's no wonder that intelligent people, that scientists and historians and others, and individuals who want to know what the basic truth is, are so confused over what they think the Bible says. The Bible does not teach these things. This is utter nonsense, what we have been given over the years. Now, I want to offer you a free research study on this very matter. We will send it to you free and postage paid, without any obligation on your part. To obtain this free study, just ask for the material on immortality, or the immortality of the soul. And you can send your request to the Academy for Scriptural Knowledge, or simply ASK, Post Office Box 7777, Alhambra, California, 91802. Or you can telephone us at area code 818-441-0114. That's 818-441-0114. We would be very happy to send this material to you. Now, in closing, I would like to offer you another free booklet that explains everything about our organization, the Academy for Scriptural Knowledge. We are not a church, nor do we have any denominational ties. We are simply a research organization specializing in the study of the biblical revelation and the history of the Middle East. To receive your free booklet and the other free booklet I mentioned, also a price list of all our publications, send your request to the Academy for Scriptural Knowledge, or simply, as I said before, ASK, Post Office Box 7777, Alhambra, California, 91802. And once again, that telephone number, call us, 818-441-0114. I hope you will tune in next week at this same time for new discoveries in the Bible. Until then, this is Ernest L. Martin saying so long and have a nice day.
This program has been sponsored by the Academy for Scriptural Knowledge. The Academy is not connected to any church or religious denomination and has no interest in getting you into or out of any church. Our intent is purely academic and educational. The role of the Academy is to show that the Bible has essential and relevant information for modern man. All literature and cassette tapes are available by sending your request to the Academy for Scriptural Knowledge, or simply ASK, P.O. Box 7777, Alhambra, California, 91802. That's ASK, P.O. Box 7777, Alhambra, California, 91802.
Now, there you have Program A on the subject of the immortality of the soul. In just a few moments, we will turn over the cassette tape. I hope you will, and you will hear the second program, which is really a corollary to the whole thing. I felt that there were two programs that should be given to this subject. However, even there, I'm not able on the air to go into many, many scriptural teachings on this matter, simply because the people who are listening out there aren't really trained in the biblical revelation. I am trying in these broadcasts just to give a superficial type of a teaching which will gain their interest. And we are getting an interest throughout Southern California here and the other areas where we are on at the present time. And that is very encouraging. But you know, we need a lot more of getting this information out to the people in the world. And as I've said to you so many times, the reason for this broadcast is not simply to exalt Ernest L. Martin or even ASK as far as that goes. No, we don't want to do that. We're trying to get the biblical revelation to be brought back into people's attention. And it seemed like to me that all of us who love that teaching of the Bible, both the Old and the New Testaments, we would want to share it as much as we possibly can with others in the world. And I think that is what God would want us to do. We don't have any commission that we have to do that, but you know, there still is a responsibility that each of us ought to take upon ourselves so that we might be able to share with others in these beautiful and wonderful teachings that we know, and not the teachings of Satan the devil that are being promulgated throughout this world on a grand scale at the present time. So that's the reason why we have started this experimental program of getting these broadcasts out, and that's what they are at the present time. We have not established any set policy yet on them. We want you to be able to tell us whether you feel that they are valuable or not. And these programs are not especially for each of you who have grown in grace and knowledge on many of these subjects. But I will tell you this, you still need to know about them, and you need to know how to answer people who will ask you questions on these very important subjects. And believe me, they are some of the most important that we can go into. Now, this matter of the immortality of the soul, it is so paramount for us to recognize the perversity of this doctrine and how evil it really is. Because, you see, many of us, really, if we don't think very carefully on these matters and study our scripture with a great deal of spiritual intent, we ourselves can be weaned right over into believing some of these nonsensical doctrines for which the people of the world now are accepting. But we are, a very limited group of people who believe the truth on these matters. And it's so clear in the scripture what these teachings are all about, if a person will just read carefully what the Bible says. And you know, as I said before to you, this whole matter of the immortality of the soul, or that the spirit of a person does not die, and that spirit represents a conscious individual who continues to live from now on and never experiences unconsciousness or death of any kind that we know of it. You know, that teaching right there is absolutely the one that destroys the central biblical doctrine of the New Testament, that Christ came to die for our sins, that he took the sins of us upon him, both our physical sins, our spiritual sins, our emotional sins, all of our sins upon him, and he paid the penalty for those sins by dying in our place, by dying in the place of the world. He was a surrogate for us. He was a substitute for you and me. He has died for the sins of the world. He was also resurrected from the dead. Now, this teaching, however, says that Christ, in actual fact, never died. They try to say that when his spirit went back to heaven, that he said right while he was there on the tree of crucifixion, just before he died, into your hands I commit my spirit. They think that means his whole personality, not just his breath, not just his life. And of course, that's what it does mean, because you see, moments later, Jesus Christ was dead, and he was in the grave, and he was going to be in the grave for 3 days and three nights, and he was to be resurrected not from the living, but from the dead. That is what the Bible consistently tells us time and time again, but most people don't believe that. They think that Christ went immediately to heaven, consciously. There he was there with the Father for a short time. Then he comes back to this earth and goes to the spirits in prison, that is, angels, rebellious angels in Tartaru, or a particular part of what they imagine to be hell, and that he teaches them during this 3 days and three nights that he's supposed to be dead, and that he comes back finally and then re-enters supposedly his body, his dead body, and the dead body is revivified once more, and then after that he goes back to heaven and there goes to God the Father once more. You know, that is absolute nonsense. That is in no way what the scripture says. In fact, after Christ Jesus was resurrected from the dead, he came to Mary. Mary thought he was the gardener, but he said to Mary, "Do not touch me, because I have not yet ascended to my Father in heaven." Why had not he ascended?
because he had been dead for 3 days and three nights, and here he was still as a fleshly body standing in front of her. He even said that that was the case. And you know, most people today, they don't believe that. No, he had to go to the Father in heaven, and he was changed into spiritual essence, into a spiritual composition. And now he became, at that time, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. He became the Savior of the world, and he even took in his own hands some of his own blood that had been shed that was a part of his body and presented it to God the Father in heaven and sprinkled the very holy place in heaven with his own blood up there some 3 days and three nights after he died on the tree of crucifixion, not long after he was resurrected from the dead that Sunday morning. But you see, most people, they don't believe that he died. They believe that he just carried right on. Well, they say his body died, his flesh died, but he continued to live because, after all, he's immortal. He could not. No, you know, he became immortal by a resurrection from the dead and by Christ Jesus being given immortality again by the Father in heaven. And that is made clear in the scripture. Because you see, if he was resurrected from the dead, he wasn't resurrected from the living, was he? Of course not. But these people are trying to say that he never died in the spirit in the first place. Do you know, that is the most dangerous doctrine that you can possibly imagine. They are willing to admit he died in the flesh, that is, some of them, but his spirit, his conscious being, continued to exist right on down, and he never died at all. He just continued right on, and that's what they feel that happened. Well, I tell you, that is dangerous, because you see, if his spirit continued to live, then his spirit did not die. And if his spirit did not die, the spiritual sins that you and I have committed, the spiritual sins that other people in the world have committed all the way from the time of Adam and Eve up to the present and in the future, do you know those spiritual sins, the only way that they can be handled is if Jesus Christ died spiritually. And that's exactly what he did. He was dead for 3 days and three nights, completely dead, just like you and I will be dead when we die. And we have to be resurrected from the dead by God the Father in Christ Jesus, which will happen, and that's promised. But he had to be resurrected from the dead. Do you know his spirit had sins on him? Not his own sins, because he didn't have any, did he? That's right. He had not a sin of his own upon his person, whether of flesh or spirit. But he had your sins. He had my sins. He had the sins of the world upon him. He absolutely did. And it means upon his physical flesh as well as his spirit. And that is most important for us to understand. But they say his spirit didn't die. If his spirit didn't die, then your spiritual sins, which were placed upon his spirit, has not been paid for yet. And you know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 7, if we think that we do not have spiritual sins that have to be taken care of, well, you ought to look at it here. It says in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 7, Paul says, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." That's right. Do you realize that you and I both have fleshly sins upon our bodies, which, by the way, can be taken care of by the death of Christ on the tree of crucifixion, by his fleshly body dying? That's true. But do you realize we also have spiritual sins, and they are more dangerous than even the fleshly sins? We have spiritual sins upon us, which also have been placed upon the back of Christ spiritually. Now, if he died in the flesh, forgiving us of our sins, dying in our place, do you know he also had to die in the spirit to be able to cleanse us of our spiritual sins? That is exactly what we find in the scripture. Jesus Christ died both in flesh and he died in spirit, and he had to be resurrected from the dead. Now let's turn over the cassette tape at this juncture so we can listen to the second broadcast of New Discoveries and the Bible, and we will get a new look at this whole question of the immortality of the soul.